Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Friday, October 14th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Callistus, Pope and Martyr of the Church. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer, Sarah, is taking the day off, but Thomas is here with us filling in. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's great to be with you to start your morning as we get ready for another weekend. On Fridays, I always take a moment to remind you to think about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, especially on Fridays. And we always remember as well the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor extraordinaire, Glenn. What are a few of the big stories making headlines here on this Friday morning?
Well, politics a little bit here, as we're just a few weeks away from midterm elections, John, and the January 6th committee subpoenaing. Calling to hear from former President Trump. He's going to respond this morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. That'll be 7 Central Time on what he will do, whether he'll testify, whether he plans on taking the fifth. He could do that or just not show up. But one last meeting to this date, yesterday, announcements from the January 6th committee and some footage, too, some quite dramatic footage that hadn't been shown before of kind of what was going on with some of the congressional leaders in the basement of the Capitol as it was being raided.
It'll be interesting to see how the former president responds. He has called this January 6th committee a witch hunt. Obviously, he doesn't agree with the way that it was handled. Your thoughts?
Well, we'll see. I think I was never convinced that he was planning on running again in a couple years. And it's expected after the midterms that many folks who want to be president 2 years from now will throw their hat in the ring. So there's been quite the effort to kind of make sure that he doesn't run, I think. And but if he did, you know, illegal things with those documents, that needs to be investigated. So, you know, it's enough of a gray area, I think, John, that there are some questions on both sides.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, there's a big debate going on in Georgia tonight between Senator Raphael Warnock and former football star Herschel Walker, who is absolutely loved in that state.
Yeah, every Senate race of great import, because the Senate split, of course, 50-50 right now. And so each party wants to hang on to those seats and grab at least one or two more. The polls show it to be just that close. Georgia, one of those states that it was thought the seat could be up for grabs with the kind of partial term that was filled by Raphael Warnock. He's up for re-election now, and Herschel Walker challenging him. In Georgia, then a lot of attacks on Herschel Walker. One, an anonymous person saying that he helped pay for an abortion. He denies that, but that's kind of the latest bit that's in the news regarding things that he'll have to campaign against. And someone had pointed out whether or not he did that, the other party asking all the voters to pay for millions of abortions.
Well, Herschel Walker has plenty of experience being in the limelight, in the spotlight as a former college star and football player. We'll see how he performs in the big debate tonight. Meanwhile, speaking of football, of the NFL variety, Thursday night football last night, the Washington Commanders hung on. They snapped a 4-game losing streak to beat my Chicago Bears 12-7 with a big touchdown run midway through the fourth quarter by a former Alabama standout and rookie Brian Robinson. He took it in from a yard out, and that was the difference.
Yeah, it took about a game and a half for a touchdown to be scored on Thursday night football. Even the announcers were kind of making fun of that a little bit. It wasn't exactly a barn burner, but that second half was pretty close. Both teams struggling in the passing department, but some strong defense last night.
Yeah, I had to go to bed, so I did not see the ending. I think did you catch the ending, Glenn?
I did, and Bears' last possession, they bobbled and then caught the ball at about the one-inch line, but that was fourth down, and they had to get in, and so that was the last play. It was oh so close for Chicago.
All right. Well, as always, we'll have more coming up next hour. Thanks, Glenn.
Hey, sounds good.
First things first, we start every morning in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you take to heart, do you really believe these words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Through his death and resurrection, the faithful will rise from the dead and enter eternal life. This is our faith. If we believe in Christ, we will live forever in heaven with our Lord, our Lady, all the angels and saints, and all of our loved ones. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And of course, you can always send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. A number if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, with the midterm elections just 25 days away, you got to keep in mind that the Latino vote will be critical in deciding a number of key races that could determine the balance of power in Congress. For many, many years, Hispanics have voted solidly Democratic, but the preferences of this diverse group are definitely shifting. In fact, according to a recent survey of 1,000 Latino registered voters conducted by NBC News, and Telemundo, it found that the majority, we're talking 54%, prefer Democrats to keep control of Congress as a result of the midterm elections in November. Now, that's down 5 percentage points since October of 2020 and down an amazing 13 points since November of 2018, according to this poll. Listen to Rachel Campos Duffy on Fox News recently.
One of the fastest growing blocs in the country, Latinos, are leaving the Democrat Party in droves. It's so bad that even MSNBC can't avoid talking about it.
The Democratic Party has changed a lot, and I identify more with the Republican Party.
What things?
Well, we're for God, country, family, and hard work.
Jose used to vote blue, too. Now he's also a Republican and most concerned with immigration and beefing up border security.
What are the concerns that you have about immigration?
The fact of the matter is that we don't feel safe anymore.
And joining us live from Washington, D.C. for a Catholic perspective on the Latino vote, with only 25 days before the midterm elections, is attorney and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Alfonso is a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN en Español. He's published opinion columns in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and of course, he is a regular contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Alfonso. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you here with only 25 days left before the midterms.
Good morning, John. Indeed, time flies. And that shift of Hispanic voters towards the GOP continues. And that is very dramatic. And it shows that we're living some interesting times in the political landscape. Not only a general realignment philosophically, I think, of both parties, with the GOP becoming more conservative, the Democratic Party moving to the extreme left, but then also major constituencies in our country also shifting to the GOP. So it's interesting. I think we're going to I think the midterms are going to be very interesting in telling us where the country is at this point politically.
This poll was very interesting because we're talking about NBC News and Telemundo, not exactly a conservative site. I want you to listen to Texas Republican Congresswoman Myra Flores recently on Fox News.
The Democrat Party walked away from the Hispanic community to cater to the far left that is anti-God, anti-family, and that is just not who we are here in South Texas. We're all about God, family, and hard work, and they walked away from that.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, indeed, and she's very articulate, and she's one of those stars within the GOP, a Hispanic Republican woman from Southern Texas, and it just really shows the shift that's happening. And I think she makes a very important point. And you know, cultural issues matter as much as economic issues. I think today voters are, yes, they care deeply about what's going on in the economy, the inflation. You know, we just saw the government report yesterday. Inflation remains a 40-year high of 8.2%. But cultural issues are very important. The Democratic Party has been moving to the extreme left, pushing abortion on demand, this transgender agenda of, you know, the federal government, President Biden, pushing for kids to have access to same-sex therapies and surgeries, pushing gender ideology in schools without consulting with parents. That is really driving a lot of this. And I think for the first time, I think in a long time, I think cultural issues are as important as economic issues. And I think that's one of the drivers of this shift.
Traditionally, Hispanics are more family-oriented, more open to life, more pro-life. How much of a factor do you think the issue of abortion will be among the Latino people?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, there are polls, recent polls, that say that a slight majority of Hispanics are believing in legal abortion. I don't buy that. I think the majority, and a good majority, of Hispanics are pro-life. I think they were happy with the Dobbs decision. I think that they see the Democratic Party as a party that wants to, that it's incapable of opposing late-term abortion. You know, we've seen recently Senator Graham of South Carolina introducing legislation to prohibit abortion after 15 weeks. And you've heard Democrats saying that, you know, they would oppose it, that's extreme. Imagine, it's extreme to oppose abortion after 15 weeks. That's what Democrats are saying. And so I think that, you know, certainly the Dobbs decision has energized the Democratic base, and it showed for a while in the polls. But, you know, I think if Republicans stand their ground and express their support for life, and also show how Democrats are willing to even oppose late-term abortion, I think that's going to work in their favor at the end. But certainly with Hispanics, I think life is a very important issue. I think the Dobbs decision will energize a lot of Hispanic voters now that this debate has moved to the states.
What about Catholic Hispanics, with still the majority of Hispanics being Catholic, whether you're talking about Cuban Americans in Florida or the Hispanics of Mexican descent in the southern states, Texas and Arizona?
Well, I would say even more so. Hispanics are people of faith, and polls show that. They are church-going. You know, Catholics are very aware, acutely aware, of the culture of death that's being promoted. But they're also aware of this transgender agenda that seeks to undermine the dignity of the human person, the authority of parents over their minor children. they know the cultural challenges that we're facing more than others. And for many who still in the past were voting for the Democrats because they felt the Democrats were the party of Hispanics, I think many, certainly we're seeing it in Southern Texas. Many are saying, wait a second, this party is unrecognizable. And, you know, we have to, I think they're opting to vote for Republicans because they want to vote for life. They want to vote for respecting the dignity of the human person, for religious freedom, for the family. And as the left has, the Democratic Party has shifted to the extreme left and shown it clearly, I think Catholics are saying, wait a second, this cannot be. And I think it's even Catholics, Hispanic Catholics who are not voting before or not taking elections seriously are saying, wait a second, we have to vote. And because our country is there's a great challenge, cultural challenge in our country, and we have to get involved.
Alfonso, another key issue that you and I have discussed extensively in the past is the issue of immigration. With everything that we're seeing with the fentanyl crisis, 100,000 people in our country that have died in the last year from fentanyl, the human trafficking that we've heard about, this issue of immigration is also a big topic for Hispanics, especially the ones that are down on the border states.
Well, obviously, it's a huge crisis. And, you know, I think Biden and the Democrats thought that their open border policies would get them in good graces with Hispanics. And that's not happening because Hispanics know that, sadly, this is a political ploy to try to get their vote. They know that regardless of what the White House says, the policies of this administration of the border are not humane, are not moral. They're encouraging millions of people to make a very dangerous trek to the border where their lives are put in danger. People are dying the past 2 years that we know of. Over 1,300 people have died in terrible circumstances. You know, a vast majority of women and girls are raped or victims of sexual assault. There's all sorts of crime. This is the legacy of the policies of this administration that, again, have gone to the extreme. There's obvious dereliction of duty that we haven't seen ever, not even during the Obama years. We've seen this type of effort. And Hispanics know. So, I mean, look, Southern Texas is populated. I think the majority of the population is Hispanic, and they're turning on Democrats because they know what's doing to border communities. But now we're seeing, immigrants arrive all over the country. And as cities and communities are not ready for that. Now, I want to be clear, you know, we're called to welcome migrants. I believe in a welcoming immigration policy, but encouraging this massive illegal flow of people is not moral nor humane, nor it's pro-immigrant. This is not the way to bring in people to the country. It has to be legal. It has to be regular. And I think this is certainly an important issue for Hispanics, and I think it's going to make many vote for Republicans.
Alfonso, a final thought with 25 days to go.
Well, I think the question is the House will be won by retaken by Republicans. The question is by how many seats? Could it be more than 30? I think if it's more than, well, you know, some people are saying it could be less, but I think that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, 30 would obviously be a good, solid majority. And then the Senate right now is a toss-up, but I think Republicans can still pull it off. Republicans winning House and Senate would be very, very big politically and would be a big shift in the political landscape in Washington.
Well, as always, I so much appreciate your perspective, always keeping in mind a moral and a Catholic point of view. Thanks so much for being with us, Alfonso.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Morning Air contributor Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland, is going to be with us to talk about some of the toxic sites, especially for children that are happening these days. So stay with us. We are just getting going here on this Friday. There is much more to come as Morning Air continues after this. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
This is Morning Air.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Again, if you'd like to be part of our conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, the attacks on the family are coming from all different places, especially they're coming from the media. Listen to this following ad that has played on all of the Disney channels. Imagine your young kids watching a show on Disney and listening to this ad.
Do you want to meet a family with a transgender kid? Here we are. Max loves to do backflips. Max loves to play his ukulele. Max loves to just be a kid and just be himself. When I found out I was pregnant, all I really wanted was a happy, healthy, whole child. And that's what I got. If you've never met a transgender child before, what I want you to know is that that child is no different than yours. They have the same hopes and dreams and deserve the same equality as your child does. We tell our kids as often as we can that we love them in as many ways as possible. There are some politicians who are trying to tear my family apart simply because my son is transgender. Trans kids don't have a political agenda. They are just kids. They just want to be left alone. My family's just like yours. We love our kids unconditionally, and we will never stop fighting for them. Stand with us. Protect our families.
An example of some of the things that kids are hearing these days that they're being brainwashed with. As parents, we all need to be aware that we have the responsibility to educate our children in values grounded on our Catholic faith and on the truth. Joining us live this morning is corporate entrepreneur Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland, to further discuss some of these toxic sites for children in the media. Juan Carlos has a career track record in international and Hispanic media, in working for brands such as Colgate-Palmolive, Visa, Sony, and NBCU. Good morning, Juan Carlos. Thanks so much for being with us once again. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, John, for the invitation, and thank you so much to have me in the program, and good morning for your audience as well.
Well, Juan Carlos, this is a really important topic that all parents, especially Catholic parents, need to be plugged into, need to be aware of what's happening. Can you talk a little bit about this attack that we are seeing in the entertainment industry, in the supposed kids channels, especially like Disney and YouTube, Netflix, and many other sites?
I think it's about having clear what the our job as parents is, right? What is our job as parents? And I think that we have the responsibility of guarding the hearts and the minds of our kids. That's what God has called us to do. That's what society overall has called us to do when we decide to enter into a marriage and have kids. And that's a commitment that we have, and we have to best fulfill that need for our kids. And right now, I think probably in the last 10 to 20 years, this is becoming very, very difficult because of the strength and the transformation that media has had. So it's not just two channels as it used to be. Now we have 300, 500 channels. And now from channels on TV 3.0, we went from 2.0 to 3.0, where we now have over thousands and thousands of channels over the internet. So media has always evolving and adapting to these new circumstances. So at the end of the day, as families, we need to understand what is happening out there and what's the intention, right? So definitely, there's a toxic culture that we're navigating in, and definitely is trying to distort the original and organic image of a family. And that's being attacked right now, unfortunately. And we have to do our job to try to preserve that and share that traditional image and talk to our kids and talk to them and try to avoid them to expose themselves to things that are not adequate. And what you're seeing right now is not just the content, it's the advertising, it's the millions of dollars being poured to these well-produced campaigns, as you just showed. And there's an intention about that. There's an intention behind that. And it's affecting the culture. But this culture is changing the opinion of people, which at the end is just about passing a new law or taking new votes. So it's incredible that we're seeing that happening, not just in a traditional or focusing on votes on the adults, but there's some sort of grooming happening to the base of our society, to our kids.
I want to invite our listeners, if this is a topic that resonates, that concerns you, with all these many channels, you know, 300-500 channels out there, all of them potentially targeting our young children. If you want to be part of the conversation, if you have a question or a thought for Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland, we can take your call this morning here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Can you talk a little bit about how these different media sites are promoting? They're advertising, they're providing content that is specifically targeting our young children.
Absolutely. And I divide this in two big buckets, right? So it's the algorithm-driven sites such as Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, even YouTube, where it's basically a machine that is curating the content that your kids are being exposed to. And things like pornography are rampant. And kids starting the age of 4 are being overexposed to this type of content. So, it takes more than 7 years for one of these images to be erased from their minds. So we have to be extremely careful with our kids being exposed to this type of things. Recently, we just saw, and Family Playland sent out a number alert type of, or a media alert to the base of customers, bringing awareness to a site in YouTube called Touch Molly. And this is very, very concerning because it's content that is being produced. You have over 50,000 people following this type of channels, incognito channels that are just popping up. And it was horrible what we saw there. And we're just alerting the base of Latinos and our main users that these type of things are out there, and they should be aware and prevent their kids getting into that. So you have this big bucket of media that has no vetting or control of the type of content that is being pumped into our kids. And that's something that parents need to be really, really aware and try to avoid the most.
Juan Carlos, yeah, you know, you mentioned a few of these sites, you know, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and of course, there's many others, some that we've never even heard of. Which one of these well-known ones concerns you the most? I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the concerns about TikTok these days.
Yeah, so you have to think of several areas there. You have to think about the type of content that is being put in front, and then also what's happening with the data. Once it's, you put your behavioral data there, it's being sold. But definitely TikTok, there's drugs, there's pornography, there's a lot of content that is not controlled. And it's, quite frankly, very difficult for anybody to control because it's user peer generated content. So There's no editorial criteria. There's no specific concern or morals or ethics on a lot of this content because you don't know who's putting this up there. So if a kid is put in front of that machine, you quite frankly don't know what's coming out next, whether it's from an advertising point of view or whether it's from a content perspective. And then you have that second bucket of content, which are more the traditional corporate media assets such as Netflix or Apple or Hulu. And there's been a transformation in those vehicles as well. You have very recently, I think 2 years ago, something like Cuties, which is basically showing minors and over-sexualized minors, for instance. There was a big situation happening with their marketing plans and advertising where it had to be pulled down. Or things that we saw recently with Disney Plus, that it's all these campaigns, pervasive campaigns trying to brainwash our kids, but also things like Little Demon, that it's a series that is right now up there, and it's just not acceptable for any kid to try to watch something like this, which is basically showing a family that it's rendering to the demon. And it's right now on air, and it's incredible.
Just yesterday, I saw a video of a woman, of a mom, who was just outraged at the things that the teachers were teaching her children. This is just one example. There are a lot of moms out there that are outraged when they find out exactly what is being taught to our children, especially through many of these sites. And not only the sites, but also it's then doubled down. They hear it at school as well from teachers.
Absolutely. I think the impact, again, as I was mentioning, it's the culture affecting the opinion and the mindset of teachers and educators and parents. And I think COVID kind of awoke a lot of these families to just try to figure out how to filter and pay attention to what's going on at their schools. But at the end of the day, the kid is spending more than 10 times the amount of time with media, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, media is very powerful, and we have to learn how to be smart about it and how to use media for the benefit of our kids and not the other way around. Don't let media use the innocence and the souls of your kids for their corporate or profit goals.
We're joined this morning by Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland. Juan Carlos, do you have any realistic suggestions for parents and how parents can prevent their kids from being exposed to some of the nonsense that's out there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're focusing on. Family Playland, part of our added value to the community that is currently subscribing to the platform and the institutions that are currently in affiliate partnerships with us. We go in and we have a team of professionals. We have all the way from family psychologists giving permanent guidance to what to do and guidance for these institutions so they can prevent any sort of media addiction. We also have a group of journalists that are writing for us, over a professional team, more than five journalists, reviewing content, kind of facilitating the effort that parents do not, quite frankly, don't have the time to do. So we're just not just filtering the content and vetting the content, but we're also, through our blog, we're permanently giving guidance, professional guidance, and we are interpreting and giving an opinion about both morally and professionally of all the different type of series and movies that are being released constantly by media. Whether that series is in our platform or if it's out of our platform, we're still giving a very objective, independent evaluation of the product. So those are kind of the areas that we bring into the table. And it takes just hours and hours to do that, but we're kind of providing that to our customers.
Juan Carlos, you mentioned the very controversial Cuties from a few years ago on Netflix. But everything on Netflix is not all negative. There's something positive. Recently, we saw the Father Stu movie is now on Netflix. In fact, Mark Wahlberg, the star of that movie, was actually on Morning Air. He's Catholic, and obviously his faith means a lot to him. So, you know, you can have a good uplifting positive movie even on a Netflix. It's really hard to know, you know, where to go when you're a parent.
Absolutely. That's why we're trying to give this guidance as part of our service, so parents can easily discern and have a guidance and a conclusion of what content is appropriate or not. We're not condemning these media assets overall. We just think about it as if there's a peanut allergy in a classroom, right? So you're bringing in some peanut to the classroom. Not everybody in the classroom is allergic, but you have to be really, really careful to the effect that is going to cause to certain members of that classroom. That's exactly what's happening here with media. And we have to be extremely careful on how to treat that. And again, our mission as parents is to protect the innocent and the hearts of our kids. So we really have to pay attention and filter and make sure that we don't do that. Now, the other point that you have to consider, if we pay $25, $30 on an average price for subscription for one of these sites, you're not just paying for, you know, what you like, you're also subsidizing the production and marketing efforts of all the other stuff that is pervasive and attacking our kids. So I think you can find those type of content in other platforms that are probably not doing this type of harm to our families.
Juan Carlos, final minute to go. I heard your new Family Playland app is up and running on the App Store for iPhone users. Can you tell us briefly about it?
Absolutely. We're a startup out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So we're just going out and releasing our efforts and gaining distribution. First, we started web. Now we finally got that app up and running in the Apple Store, which facilitates to have a better experience to our users in the big screen, because we do bring feature films and long content such as the Smurfs, but a lot of our educational entertainment content. So it's nice to enjoy this type of content with the family, spend time with the family watching something together rather than just having, you know, one or two or three people independently watching content, obscure content in the room. So we're trying to create that space for the family to reunite and have a nice experience watching content together. And technology is enabling that. And we're using technology to that advantage of the family. We're not the saying we have here in our household is like, if there's a pacifier that you need to give to a kid, at least make sure that you're giving them nutritious milk, right? So make sure that you're putting something that is nice and it's not toxic. And we're trying to avoid that on Family Playland.
We're going to have to leave it right there, Juan Carlos. Thank you so much for being with us. Juan Carlos Sanchez, the founder of Family Playland. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. Stay with us. There's more to come. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Looking at life through a Catholic lens, this is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you. And now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. Always keep in mind that the Word of God in the Gospels, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, is powerful. When the Gospel, the Book Eternal, is proclaimed, Christ is passing by. Jesus is speaking to you. So listen carefully, folks, as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's Gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our Gospel reading for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, "While it's true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." The Lord said, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Time now to dive in for a deeper look at that gospel for the 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Joining us for that look once again, the Bishop of Reno, Nevada. That's Bishop Daniel Muggenberg. Bishop Muggenberg, always great to have you along.
And great to be here, Glenn.
Today we learn about the persistence of prayer and how we need to just keep trying.
Well, and Jesus, you know, was trying to teach us to turn to God not as our last resort, but as our first resort, and to be persistent in that. So our Lord uses an image of someone who has no other resort except her persistence, and that is a widow.
It's kind of interesting, too. I mean, the Bible, our Lord, with the parables, often uses for an illustration a widow, someone seen as very powerless in that day and age.
You know, and some people have thought over the centuries that Jesus, you know, had such a sensitivity to the plight of widows, perhaps because of the situation of his own mother. Quite probably St. Joseph had died by the time that Jesus began his public ministry, which certainly explains why he is not present, but the Blessed Mother is. So Jesus would have seen in his own mother the powerlessness that women, and especially widows in his society, experienced. And so by using her as an example, he's wanting us to identify with someone who is truly powerless and has no other resort except prayer, and who is absolutely persistent in our prayer as a result of that.
You know, Bishop Muggenberg, looking at this gospel reading over the years, it seems at first blush, if we read it maybe wrong, that it's just, we just need to harp on God, and then he'll finally, we'll wear him down, and then he'll give in.
Sure. So prayer is never about changing God's mind. Prayer is always about changing us, you know, and helping us be more conformed to the divine will. The reality is that sometimes God delays in his response to our prayers, specifically to foster within us that sense of faithful patience, that sense of, you know, being persistent, persevering, having fortitude, one of the seven spiritual gifts. And also, you know, in God's time, sometimes the Lord needs particular situations to mature within us before he answers those prayers. Ultimately, you know, prayer is not so much about getting what we want. It's ultimately about doing what God wants.
Bishop Daniel Muggenberg with us, taking a look at Sunday's gospel reading. We learn about the persistence of prayer, and again, too, teaching to not use prayer, like you mentioned, as a last resort. Well, all we can do is pray, but to pray a beginning, middle, and end of our pursuits.
Very true. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus praying more than any other gospel. And that's one of Luke's primary themes, is the importance of prayer. And Jesus models that for us. He prays before he makes significant decisions. He prays in the course of his ministry. He prays during times of trial. He prays, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, always surrendering to the Father's will, but always acting in a way so that whatever he is doing, he is doing so as an expression, you know, of the mission the Father has entrusted to him. Our difficulty is that oftentimes when we face moments of decision or situations where, you know, we need to solve a problem, we tend to first go to our own strengths or our own perceptions. And only when something doesn't work do we then turn to God in prayer. Jesus wants us to act differently as disciples. He wants us to begin with prayer, be sustained with prayer, and be persevering in our prayer.
Now, one of the things, of course, with moral challenges, they've been very common throughout the ages, but our impatience with wanting what we want right now is fueled by the way a lot of our modern technological society works, and that probably seeps in when it comes to we want to get what we want when we want it in terms of prayer, too.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. You know, we do live in a culture that is based in large part on instant gratification. We expect to have everything that we desire within moments, you know, and so we even have same day delivery, you know, on things that we order online now. But instant gratification will actually work against us in the spiritual life because, you know, God wants us to know our dependence on him. And it's only when we know our dependence on God and we experience that providence of God working in our lives that we can really not only trust God, but we can enter into relationship with God because of that trust and because of the Lord, you know, being so good to us in our moments of need.
Our Lord's parables, good training for the disciples now as well as back then, and the training that we are to help be an answer to prayer ourselves when we help others.
Absolutely. We need to keep that in mind. This isn't just about what God does. It's also about how God does it. And by using the image of an unjust judge, we as disciples should be really challenged to respond on a much higher level, you know, because we hopefully are people who do fear God. In a very reverential sense, you know. So as members of the body of Christ, Jesus answers prayers through us. And so whenever we, you know, find ourselves in those moments of being confronted or being invited to help assist others, especially those who are powerless and those who have no other recourse, we need to be particularly sensitive to how God wants to answer their prayers through us. And rather than being filled with judgments about them, you know, like this unjust judge, we really need to be filled with a responsiveness and a receptivity to their need, because that's how God is going to answer their prayers.
Bishop Muggenberg, can we read into this that the example held up of even the unjust judge will kind of give in and, you know, take care of someone, to read into it that, well, how much better will a good and loving God ultimately be able to take care of us?
And how much better will good and loving disciples cooperate with the inspiration of good and loving God in caring for his people who suffer? So certainly we can trust God. We know God's goodness. We know God's love for us. We know God's providence. And therefore, you know, we simply need to participate and reflect that goodness and love for others. And in that, you know, we actually become co-workers with the Lord. And that is something that strengthens the body of Christ and assists those in need.
Also kind of sneaking in at the end of the passage, a challenge really from our Lord, will there be faith found on earth?
That's a very good question. You know, whenever we think about that question, will there be faith when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on the earth? Obviously, that particular line is given in the context of people who are persistent in prayer and people who have a correct evaluation of God, which feeds their persistence in prayer. But we as a church need to ask that question: how well are we passing on the gift of faith? How well are we helping other people encounter God and to know God as good and loving and providential, and helping them experience that relationship with God where they are going to commit their lives to him and not be deterred because they don't get immediate answers to their prayers? So we have a real responsibility, you know, to find ways to communicate that faith experience, especially to our young people today, so that we are being faithful to our responsibility to pass on the great gift of relationship with God that we have inherited.
Great reflection on passing on the faith and being persistent in prayer as well this week with our gospel reading out of Luke 18, 1 through 8. Bishop Muggenberg, if you'd be so kind as to wrap us up this week with your blessing.
The Lord be with you, and may the blessing of Almighty God, who invites us to be the answer to other people's prayers, always inspire us to be responsive and generous in serving the Lord and our neighbor. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Bishop Muggenberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Wet Eyes by Joseph Mazzella. I was looking through some old photo albums the other day. I'd already looked through them many times before, but I felt a sudden urge to see those old pictures again. I found myself reliving so many beautiful memories from my childhood,
There was my dear Nana giving me a bath when I was a baby. There was me and my brother standing in front of the world's ugliest Christmas tree. There was my first dog, Duke, snuggled up next to me on the couch. There was my beautiful mom holding me on her lap. And all of a sudden, the picture seemed blurry. I realized the pictures were blurry because my eyes were moist. Tears were dripping down my cheeks. I wiped my wet eyes and wondered what was going on. I hadn't cried last time I looked at those pictures. What was different now? I soon saw that it was I who was different. Since I had last looked through those photos, I had grown. My empathy had risen. My compassion had strengthened. My spirit had walked a little further down the path of love. I realized, too, that wet eyes were nothing to be ashamed of, as long as they came from a warm heart. I smiled and closed the photo album once again. I felt Mom and Nana smiling down at me from heaven, and I felt my Heavenly Father's love inside me and all around me. Leo Biscaglio once said, "I'm not afraid to cry. It cleans out my eyeballs." I think it cleans out our insides as well. It helps us to wash away our pain, fear, and grief. It helps us to reconnect to our love, goodness, and oneness with God. It helps us to become who we were meant to be. Next time you feel your own tears starting, then just let them flow. Life is full of smiles. Life is full of tears. Only by allowing them both can we truly live. Only by embracing them both can we truly love. John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Thanks so much, Glenn, as always. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, pro-life attorney Mary Helen Fiorito will share some stories of women who have said yes to life. And spiritual director Father James Wallace will tell us all about St. Teresa of Avila. And you'll meet Father Ramil Fajardo, the rector of the National Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, to talk about a special dedication for Mother Cabrini and a statue that's coming up tomorrow. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on the final hour of Morning Air.